Why is it important for one to have income replacement cover or income protection from an insurance point of view? That's a question that Steve Hughes is going to be answering. Steve is a wealth coach and a financial advisor. Steve, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Africa, it's good to be here again.
Sometimes it is easier to, I suppose, not pay the few hundred rands towards income protection because people believe we are absolutely overinsured. And then COVID-19 happens, the economy turns in its head, and you lose your job. And I suppose the last 2 years, if they've taught us anything, is the fact that we need to have such cover, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny, we'll more than be willing to insure our cars, we'll insure the contents of our house. But the very thing that pays for those items or those elements is the one thing that we don't insure, which is, it's crazy.
So when we're taking out income replacement cover, what are we actually doing?
We're basically insuring our income. Now, the way it works is, you are limited to a certain amount of cover. You can't, for example, if you earn 50,000 rand a month, you can't insure yourself for 200,000 rand a month on your income. You are limited to your after-tax income as an amount that you can cover, and in some cases, 75% of that. But you're insuring, in the event of you not being able to work, for anything that impacts you from an emotional, a psychological, or a physical perspective, outside of retrenchment or something like that, if you are unable to work temporarily or permanently, your income can be insured and replaced by that cover.
And that income becomes immediately accessible on what circumstances? So okay, Africa has been retrenched, for example, because the company is going through hard times. Do I access it the very next month, or do I have to wait for a period of time before I'm able, or prove that for a period of time I'm unemployable before I start having access to it?
Okay, no, like I said, it isn't retrenchment cover. That's a totally different type of insurance. Income protection, hypothetically, I break my leg and I'm unable to do my specific job for 3 months. Now, it depends on what waiting period you have attached to your benefits. Sometimes it's a 7-day waiting period, which a lot of people who are working on a per diem basis, like doctors or lawyers, they'll take that. A person who's on a month-to-month salary might have a 1-month waiting period, but waiting periods can go as much as 3 or 6 months. In fact, a lot of employee benefit income protection has a 3-month waiting period. So you have to be unable to do your job for longer than 3 months, if the 3-month waiting period is in place, before your cover will start to pay out. But when it comes to claims state, normally claims are assessed by an assessment department or a claims department, who will determine whether you are, able to receive or approved to receive your claim payout. So if I'm unable to work and I've passed my waiting period, the amount of cover that is insured will be paid out to me on a month-to-month basis.
Why then is there a distinction, Steve, between, as you quite rightly said, me not being able to earn an income because of an injury versus me not being able to earn an income because I've been retrenched?
It's just two different categories. Retrenchment is something which is not physically impacting you or emotionally impacting you, and as far as it's a manic depressive emotional state that is forcing you to not be able to work. Retrenchment is job specific, so it's external to yourself. So the insurers and probably the reinsurers decided to separate it as a distinct separate category.
Someone listening would say, well, that's because Steve and the like are trying to get more money out of me every month.
Or it could be a situation where people wanted to be able to split the benefits. So someone who might be getting an employee benefit through their company, but wants to, as a separate, cheaper benefit, have retrenchment cover that they pay a much smaller amount, being able to separate or fragment the different types of cover might make it more cost effective.
All right, let me ask you a silly question. Pregnancy. There are some companies that allow you, obviously, up to 4 months sometimes of maternity leave if you're a mother, where you'll be paid sometimes a portion of your salary, if not your full salary. But there is no legislative requirement for that to be in place. And some people have often turned to the UIF to go and obviously claim for the 4 months that they're not able to earn an income. Would an income protection or income replacement cover in any way help in that instance where you know that your wife is going to be pregnant, that they'll be away from, and perhaps you're unextended for 6 months? Could you go to this cover and say, I won't be earning an income for 6 months? It's not because of an injury, but a change in my lifestyle, and therefore could I have income for those 6 months, please?
That's actually a very interesting question, and one that in my 10 years of being a financial advisor, I've never actually answered that question in real-world examples. And I'd hate to answer black or white, yes or no, on pregnancy specific, although I do think it would be a very good argument if a person is unable to do their job specifically. But it has to go to the claims department. For example, if someone's in an administrative role and they are taking a voluntary leave of work, that's why the companies do cover it. If it's a condition linked to the pregnancy, like preeclampsia, for example, that actually stops them from being able to do their work, then yes, there's a valid claim in place there.
Interesting. Steve, thank you very much for your insights. Steve Hughes is a wealth coach and financial advisor. We've been talking about income replacement cover.